It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here! Tonight, let us make them remember. We are not afraid!
Judy Mikovits here to make us informed and maybe a little unafeared or more afeared. We'll find out. Here on Declare Your Independence with me, Ernest Hancock, coming to you from Bangor, Maine, where we're doing some bus studio upgrades. We came up here after Porcupine Freedom Festival and Fork Fest to make sure we get the upgrades in the studio. And we're going to be having some fun with that. But today we're just going to do audio with Dr. Judy. She's a little tired. She's been doing a lot of work. And there is a new high wire that came out just yesterday, I think. Donna has it up in the show notes and on the front page. And it's from interviews in a show that they did maybe a month ago. And he took the time to really, really, really get some good video and research in there. And it's all about Dr. Fauci and the slime ball that he is. And run to the rescue, the hero, Dr. Judy Mikovits. So what we're going to do is have her tell us about the taping of that, the bringing together the information and what's shared. And it's in the show notes, so you want to go watch that. It's a couple of hours of devastating slap-you-aroundism. So I just want to make sure that everybody knows about this. Welcome back to the show, Dr. Judy. Tell me every little thing.
Thanks, Ernie. It was really quite a month or quite a week. That week I had been up in Seattle, actually in Woodinville at a Freedom Festival conference there. They held it outdoors, 500, 1,000 people, just talking about this pandemic, talking about this plague of corruption over the Memorial Day weekend there, May 30. June 5th or so was when it was there. And it was just, and then I flew on June 8th to Austin, Texas, because I was invited to appear in Austin, Texas at an event with Mickey Willis and David Martin. And it would have been the first time, and it was the first time that David Martin, Mickey Willis, and I ever sat down in a room. And that was the night of June 8th. So because I was going to be there in Del Bigtree in his new studios in Austin, Texas, well, they said, hey, can you stop in here and tape a show? And this was right at the time, right after the time that, Rand Paul had caught Tony Fauci lying to Congress, et cetera, et cetera. And so the time was really right. It was perfectly ripe. We were in the last stages of writing our book, Ending Plague, which is, which we finished over the July 4th holiday weekend. But I was amazed. So I taped the show with Dell, and we were literally just talking about, Tony Fauci in this 40-year little murder fest, crimes against humanity that he's done, that we've talked about over the last 5 or 6 years. So we had this interview for, so I would say probably 1 or 2 hours of interview for a lot. the team there at the High Wire, you know, Patrick Layton and the rest of the team, literally went and dug into, and almost every word I said, they found a reference for, they found pictures for. It was like, for me, when I saw this yesterday, it was like, straight from, you know, God, what a professional job of investigative journalism. They had Jeffrey Jackson. They opened the show as they usually do with Jeffrey Jackson, who does, you know, the news report. And this was just, you know, he just did a great job pulling up all about Fauci now, then, you know, literally everything that's going on. And then for the next hour, Del, they did the interview with me, you know, complete with what you'd appreciate, you know, pictures showing what reverse transcriptase was and integrase and how it cuts open.
Oh, thank God.
It was really beautifully done in the graphics. It was, I mean, if, you know, if it, you know, for the public, if they don't, in my opinion, if they don't understand, if they don't wake up now, when will they? I mean, if you can't look at this and there wasn't almost a word or phrase I said that didn't yet wasn't followed on the screen with you know, with a reference, with graphics, with details, with a citation, you know, just again, it'll be tens of thousands of pages. It was literally almost as if my mind walked through our book, which I was full on editing at the time. And he captured it all in pictures.
Awesome. Awesome. I look forward to this watching it. Donna, did you watch it already? Yeah. Donna watched it. And, put it up on Freemus Phoenix. Make sure that gets on the top next to the other top one. It is. It's on the tippy top. There we go. This is, you know, this was coming, you know, sooner or later, this was coming out. And we, you know, did good shows. They're very popular. And my goal is a lot of times when I do this kind of regular reporting with people, it's usually to keep them alive. And I've done this with a lot of other regular guests before. I said, look, man, you're challenging the man. You need to be on a regular. A month would go by and somebody didn't return calls. I'm putting out the feelers. I mean, you know, find them, go knock on the door, whatever, because there are certain people doing certain things that they and those don't like it. And they definitely didn't like you doing what you're doing. Certainly at the time that Rand Paul is starting to call him out for, you know, lying, sitting there in front of the mic. So a lot of this stuff has come out. The Biden administration, I remember when they asked the press secretary, is there any condition under which Dr. Fauci would be fired? Nope, nothing. He's locked in and he's made mobster or something. And I'm wondering why. Who's behind the support even now of putting Dr. Fauci front and center of this thing? Why?
Right. That's what I just simply can't comprehend. Even as I wrote, now it looks like about a 300 page book, our next book, Ending Plague, you know, even as I, you know, obviously now I've read and written and edited, you know, four or five times. I almost memorize these things by the time they're published. And again, we've been working on it for a solid year. And, you know, but nothing that I've said is anything different than you and I said in 2016 when we started talking, when we were trying to raise the alarm bells. And so I guess what I don't understand and is the question you just raised, you know, what is it, you know, what is it that, you know, this it's clear from the David Martin dossier, you know, it's clear just, you know, not just one crime, but as we were saying in the show, you know, and as you saw in Plandemic, which released May 4th of 2020, you know, they, it all the way back in the 1980s, it was clear what that Fauci was using the same playbook to kill the gays, the IV drug users, and the prostitutes. And as I think I said on the show, now it's all of us. Now it's just everybody. So I just don't, I mean, I just cannot comprehend, you know, what's going on. More than that they don't do anything to him, I can't comprehend the, you know, average person on the street and how they could possibly still have a mask on or still have a or still be lining up to get shots or anything else. I just, it's that average person on the street that I can't comprehend.
Well, there are forces, and I, you know, somebody that would know. All right, I want to share this with you and you'll understand.
Okay.
Just the hour before you came on, I spent, you know, 45 minutes or more with Dennis Kucinich. He's a congressman from Ohio, and he was mayor of Cleveland. He was city council at like 23 or something back in the early 70s, then became mayor of Cleveland in 77 for a while, and then he went on in 97, I think it was. He went into Congress for 16 years until he was districted out. And Ron Paul was friendly with him because he was a genuine anti-war, anti crony capitalism kind of guy. So they got along, and I had him on, he and Phil Donahue went on a, you know, a, creating an anti-war group or something years ago. So I had, you know, Phil on, and then I had Dennis on, and Dennis was, you know, really, you know, liked the conversation, asked to come on again. So we got to talk some more, and now we just had him on. He has a new book, you know, it's called The Division of Light and Power. And what it was about is the electrical utilities of what his big opposition was in the late 70s in Cleveland. Well, of course, being in Congress for 16 years, he knows how it works. He knows what's going on. And, you know, I, you know, was trying to be nice to him. And, you know, he's promoting his book and don't want to embarrass, a, you know, a liberal on, you know, a libertarian show. And we get along fine. But I definitely had to bring up the forced vaccination thing. And the city of Cleveland, when they go into lockdown again, which they're going to try and do coming this winter, I go, so as mayor of Cleveland, what are you going to do? You're going to, you know, lock down? You're going to close businesses? You're going to, you know, force mandates? You're going to, I mean, how much are you going to play with this again? And he was, you know, went in politician style and evasive. You got to, you know, wait and see until you're there and what happens and, you know, who convinces you of something. And, so he definitely wasn't a hard no on going through this again. And he's running for mayor of Cleveland again. And, of course, he's, you know, for, you know, gun control and a bunch of other stuff. And I just wanted him to say it. And he said it. And the vaccine thing is still, I think, dominant, no matter what their other issues are, whatever they're talking about, they're still under some control or pressure, or certainly you won't broach the subject now with any kind of a hard no. And he did say that, well, your health is your individual responsibility that you have to take for. And he didn't say they weren't going to chase me down and inject me, but he wasn't a fan of it kind of thing. And I'm wondering what forces there are. And right, he kind of got a little uncomfortable towards the end, and we ended it about 8 minutes early, because what I was going to get into, of course, is you know, mandatory shots and election fraud and a bunch of other. We kind of broached it a little bit, but it started getting uncomfortable. He's doing a whirlwind book tour thing, and he didn't want to. He just started it; it just dropped yesterday, and I think we were one of the first shows him coming on. And he's like, "Damn, are they all going to be like this?" So I'm wondering, he's up against something. There is, and he of all people, and what I really pushed him on is that there's bad guys. I mean, they're evil. I mean, you know, who is it? What is it? And I know he knows, and but he doesn't want to share. And I don't think politicians going in now are going to be able to walk the fence. I don't think you're going to be able to say you're there for the people and defense of individual rights and pursuit of happiness and government's too big and we got to put a curtail on whatever. And still at the same time, try and not piss off, you know, the powers that be. And I'm going, you are of the opinion now, after going through a lot of this stuff and watching congressional testimony and talking to congressmen and dealing with the system, that the solution is going to be what? If somebody, you know, another white knight, you know, Trump's going to come fix it in 24 or what do you think needs to be done for us to survive?
Well, yeah, you know, that's I don't believe in white knights or black knights or anything else. But you know, I don't believe Trump is going to fix it. And I never believed he would. And what's really interesting, one of the most interesting parts of the show yesterday that I was, you know, unaware of in truth and facts, but I know it in my heart, even working with Dr. Resetti, is, and I believe this was on the show yesterday. I read so much that it could have been other sources, yeah, but there are many, many scientists who know the truth of everything that's been said. You know, the 99% of the scientists that Mickey Willis talks about, you know, in Plandemic, the good people of integrity and how hard we work, you know, and always have literally around the clock to in Frank's book, he does a pretty good job of it, showing how many times they beat him down and tried to move him out of science, you know, out into administration somewhere where people, you know, like Frank, who think out of the box, who don't just do the standard status quo, who do the tough questions, who take on the tough subjects, you know, so and how much. And I remember it as if it was yesterday, you know, after I, you know, got riffed from my job the first time for doing the right thing. And a little bit in the show yesterday, they mix HTLV-1, the first, you know, cancer-causing retrovirus that Frank Resetti and Bernie Poise discovered. It was great. They even put a picture of Bernie on the screen. But, you know, what he said was, is that the people know. And because to admit this truth about the dangers of, in this medicine, in this in our system right now that we call healthcare and public health services, to admit that truth somehow aligns you with Trump. And I experienced this all of last year. It's almost like people would wear a mask or let them shoot a poison where nobody has any idea what's in that needle, but it isn't good. So in order just not to say you're aligned with Trump, you know, you'd allow your children, you'd risk, you know, cancer or death, myocarditis, you know, all the injuries of these shots in your own family. You'd risk that so that you weren't somehow aligned with Trump.
They're using every psyop available to them to get as many people as possible free donuts, free McDonald's,
right,
concert, discounts on whatever. You can travel. You can visit grandma. You can go to, I mean, it is amazing the desperation I smell. Why? What is
right?
Each person inoculated equals $37,600 of pharmaceuticals in the future before you die and you're incapacitated or something. Is this an invasion? Is this a China thing? Is it a world order thing? Is it just bribery? There's something evil this, you know, way comes. And I asked Kucinich that too. I'm going, there's something wicked this way comes. What is it? And I could tell there was, you know, some knowledge there, but he's running for mayor. You can't run for mayor of Cleveland and tell the whole truth of what you know as a con. And that's what I was disappointed in. I was really looking forward to him really being the Kucinich of old, and he's going to do battle. But it seems to me he's trying to, you know, do it from the inside thing, and I'm not digging it. So we'll see what happens. We'll pay attention. He wants to come back on and we'll talk, but I'm not seeing political leadership coming from anywhere. Have you?
No. And this is, well, I mean, you know, I see leadership at many levels, you know, but not as far as running the country, not as far as, you know, the president of the United States, not as far as, you know, senators. I mean, even we even talked about in the show, I even reminded Dell when we were there in Congress on March 31st, 2017, you know, this was, and you just walk through the years, and now in 2021, you know, retrospectively and for us prospectively with our book Plague of Corruption, you know, Plague of Corruption was exactly their playbook. You know, they got caught and everybody knew it. I mean, I didn't particularly have a good night last night, and I had I played over and over again the Leonard Cohen song "Everybody Knows," because that's the only thing that would run through my head was "Everybody knows the dice are loaded," you know, and so that's what it seems like to me. Everybody knows, so everybody walking around knows. This crime perpetrator, and it's the emperor has no clothes. It's just for me. I'm in it. You know, maybe it's just because I've been awake, you know, 20 hours a day for the last 2 weeks finishing this book that, and I'm just tired and have had enough. But
well, are you done? Are you done editing?
Yeah, we're in the, it's called a galley proof. So yeah. The editor is coming back with queries and saying you need a citation here and there, you know, and that's where I'm getting frustrated, you know. Well, they can say anything when they want. And they never give a citation. No, and they could say anything they want and they never give a citation. And yet, Frank can't write something that's in all of our other books and in the movie Plandemic without showing the reference in the citation in this book, you know? So I'm, you know, which takes hundreds of hours to go pull them up again when they're already in all of our books. Yeah. Or they were edited out of all our books and they're on the screen from yesterday, you know? So I'm, yeah, so it is finished. You know, but by Monday, we have to have, you know, all of the citations. This editor decides we have to say to back it up. And, you know, I'm pretty close to just walking away and say, you know what, Skyhorse, I'm, you know, you haven't stopped the censorship. You haven't, you know, our book isn't sold in the bookstores. And
what good are you?
Well, yeah, well, that's the point. I mean, they're making the. They're making the big bucks. You know, this has been a decade. You know, we've written three books. You know, we have thousands of pages. You know, nothing in Ending Plague was not, you know, other than Frank Rossetti finally talks. But everything, and I don't mean that finally in a bad way. I mean, Frank Rossetti talks, and he's the man that knows. He's the man that was right there the whole time with these other, you know, he's 78 years old and these guys are that age. So they've been perpetrating this. I'm, you know, I'm only 63. I'm not, you know, I was, you know, that technician they thought they could just ignore, you know, in this book's about the rampant misogyny. You know, it's, this isn't, Science isn't a racist organization. Science is totally sexist. So all while Hollywood's doing the Me Too crap, you know, what about Me Too? What about women and children that these men are murdering? Straight up murdering, and have been forever, as you and I know, have been for 30 years. You know, this is what I said in the show yesterday without naming it, but this is about, you know, the MECFS, the chronic fatigue. You know, they call them chronic fatigue. They slander them. Now, even the people getting vaccine injured, the nurses, you know, oh, it's just a conversion disorder. You were so afraid of the shot. No, they volunteered. They were nurses who thought, and they've been lied to in their medical training. It's 40 years of lies and.
I want to ask some questions on this being so obvious now and documented and so on, and the role of Kent Heckenlively is to what, you know, dumb it down for all of us, you know, take all the science geekdom out of Judy and go, whoa, 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 there's a five-letter word that means the same as that 20-letter word. I mean, you know, what's the role Kent plays in this?
Well, you know, Kent, number one, he was the force from the beginning who he really all the way back in 2010 when he was in his family was in our family studies and the XMRVs were clear. And I mean, people there at Autism One, things like Carrie Rivera, that, you know, so chlorine dioxide and, you know, and just, you know, the kids, the kids that were getting injured now, you know, 1 in 30, all of a sudden nobody says autism anymore. And they're pounding these kids with these shots and these masks and killing the injured kids. So Kent knew, you know, from the beginning, Kent was the one that said, as soon as I got out of jail, he was in my family study. He said, you know, he was like, you've got to write this down. He's an attorney by training. So what he did was investigative reporting. He's the first. He didn't just take what Judy Mikovits said, even though he knew the data from his own family and mm-hmm. we could see it. And we wrote it there in chapter 5. He's the one that went to L.A., went to the hospital, showed the nurses and doctors, you know, 1934, you know, showed that really the start, the evolution of all of this, you know, perpetrating fraud on the medical community, really. And so then he's a sixth grade science teacher because he got out of legal law, the practice of law, can't take care of your severely injured daughter. And number one, nothing they're doing there is ethical, and Kent is a man of integrity. So he took this law, this training, and he took everything I said, found a reference and or interviewed the people. So interviewed the people involved, literally transcribed and translated every word I said, and then told the story and backed up with thousands of references to write the story in a way that everyone could read it is a very important thing.
Oh yeah, early on, I just tell the audience, so I did Dr. Judy, man. I was talking to a PhD of scientist lab experiment of, what the hell did you just say? So, and early on, it took a long time for me to really kind of get, and I would, you know, encourage you to talk more about who Fauci was, what his positions was. So when you're throwing names at me like Frank Rossetti and, you know,
right.
Fauci, God, the difference between them is what? I mean, somebody's got to have a white hat and a black hat to make it easy for right. me. I don't know what the hell you're talking about. But the as time went on, and then, of course, we had Kent was also a speaker at one of our vaccine education summits, and we've had him on the show. And I could see the team that you guys make is very effective, and it has worked well in getting the truth out to where it could be a narrative that could be understood. And what was interesting to me is when you did Plague, the first book, it wasn't until after that was out and people start reading it that all of a sudden you started to understand more of what was going on behind the scenes because people felt encouraged to be able to share. And then you got, you know, Plague of Corruption that, you know, incorporates a lot of these realizations. And now Ending Plague is going to do what? And one thing that's interesting is finally Frank Rossetti has agreed to participate, and he's 70 whatever years old, you know, but he didn't before because of why, and he is now because of why. So Frank Rossetti coming out and willing to share his story and write down and go on record came from what finally?
Well, for my entire 38-year working relationship with him, he wanted to write a book. Frank is a lot like Kent. I could have cared less if I ever wrote a book. So it's not as if Frank Rossetti didn't fully participate in the last two books, in Plague and Plague of Corruption. In fact, in Plague, he was probably more a part of it than I was in editing the science to make sure that the translation of the words to a sixth grade level didn't corrupt the information like we see. So Frank Rossetti has always been in it telling the truth. But what you can see in Ending Plague now what he never did before is go in and show everybody else how far, you know, reaching this really is. Like, let's just say with the Faucis, you know, and the Gallows, and he's the one that really brought together for me and crystallized in my mind, because I'm reading some of this and I was young, so I didn't know. I'm not in the administration. You see, the bosses in the labs see a very different thing. So the way that book is done is it starts with Frank's perspective. It's called Ending Plague. And the title of Frank's book was A Scholar's Obligation in an Age of Corruption. And so we wrote it as Ending Plague, A Scholar's Obligation in an Age of Corruption. Because remember, the first book was Plague, because I thought it was just the plague of the XMRV and the vaccine injured, that 6% of America who's living with cancers, autoimmune disease, neuroimmune disease, psychosis, PTSD, the 6% of our population that because of these toxic shots, since all liability was removed by the National Vaccine Injury Compensation Program, which only compensates big pharma and removes all liability. That corruption in that program, Frank Rossetti lived. So after our first book came out, and because he was threatened, so the answer to the simple answer to your question is it threatened his entire family business, just like it cost me my entire family business, my entire career. So you could see he knew what they did to me they did it to me. I think what changed, and I don't think anything changed.
Opportunities are different.
He's 78 years old now. And in fact, it got worse, because after May 4th, after Plandemic came out, the first that 26-minute video of me, he was told by his family, you choose, Judy, this, you know, hill to die on or your family. And so we had to close the business. So the threats were loud and clear, and we closed our consulting company. So we'd already...
And that was Mark Inc., right?
Yeah, that was Mikovits and Rossetti Consulting. And I literally closed it, changed it to removed Frank Rossetti. I didn't, you know, that company no longer existed as of legally and everything as of May 12th, you know, a week later, you know, I said, Frank, there's no choice. You know, you choose your family. This is, you know, we can only do so much. We're only human. And so I've already lost everything. You know, so that's just, you know, that just is what it is.
Let me ask you this. You know, you get people in these positions of influence or can be corrective, or they have, I don't know, whatever personal obligation they believe. And then when you say his family, his wife, his kids, were his family involved in, you know, a business that they had? I mean, what kind of...
Well, I say it that way. His wife and his only son are both PhD scientists. His wife was a co-author on the 2009 science paper. They were told when I was told it's on page 91 of Plague. It's that email to Simone Glenn, the head of the National Institute of Heart, Lung, and Blood. So then, and she, when I wrote that email, it was clear the blood supply was heavily contaminated. And so then Michael Bush and the whole team there were dozens of authors. You and I have shown these pictures over and over again and what happened in 2011. That was Plague of Corruption, you know, and so that during that time on August 31st, 2011, when all we knew was that the blood supply was contaminated, we had no idea this had anything to do with vaccines. Honestly, if you go through and you read that first book, Plague, our total focus was the blood supply, because that's what happened in HIV/AIDS. Especially the family. So at any rate, this is, you know, so what changed with Frank, you know, is that, you know, Frank made a promise to me. Frank made a vow to me that that he'd help figure out what went on, because neither of us knew. So he was forced into retirement. And I was frustrated as I was editing this book, because as he was finishing it, you know, as we were finishing it last week, you know, last week, and he's writing the last chapters. The last chapter is called The Millennials, you know, and so, you know, his child is a millennial. And so you can clearly see how they threaten, you know, his son is a very accomplished young PhD scientist. And so he's not going to exist publishing in Cell Nature and Science as he already has in his young career. You know, an award winning right now. This is the family business. They're three PhDs. Frank and his wife, you know, changed everything. She in the mouse field, she's the one that did the work that you know, that showed you the spike protein alone. So they did. Now Frank said, well, it's a spike protein. It's an envelope protein. Oh yeah. They just changed the words. Come on. The only thing your immune system sees is what sticks out of the host cell membrane that surrounds the RNA, the RNA genome. RNA in the blood is quickly degraded. So you have to package it in a little fat particle so that the body thinks it's your own fat cells. It's your own cell membrane and it doesn't attack you, you know, and then now the whole field is like saying, oh, there's no such thing as a virus. There are no viruses, you know, and even I do it in the end of the book. It's like, oh, come on, Bob Gallo. You know, he writes a paper in 2016 and he says, well, it's really hard to tell the difference between extracellular vesicles, exosomes, and viruses. No, it's not. We show it on electron micrographs. It's very clear. No, it's not. We've done it it's almost like they're backing the whole field up as if it never existed. I mean, talk about a cancel culture. You're going to go all the way back to Koch's postulates. You're going to go all the way back to the germ theory, which clearly is, you know, never was, you know, as a pastor. Yeah,
let me go ahead and break in. You're getting kind of complicated. I'm going to try and sum it up to the audience, and you correct me where I'm wrong here. You keep mentioning the name Gallo. Gallo was part during the AIDS years with Fauci, and Dr. Mikovits and Rossetti, you know, had some protocols and some research was going on in France that they confirmed, and they found the HIV virus, and they're going through and understanding the mechanism of this and had a treatment that was effective. Well, Fauci and Gallo did not want it to be effective. They wanted to be in control of it. They wanted to have their own. They wanted to be able to patent. And, you know, they had a, it was called the Dole Something Act of doctors can get paid using taxpayer money for research to find a solution, patent it themselves, and they get paid gazillions of dollars for coming up with something that they themselves are in a position to make sure that this is the treatment and not what really works. And so that was the first really exposure to the corruption, was during the AIDS pandemic that was going on, that they, again, you know, the same kind of crap. And Fauci and Gallo were the ones that profited from that at the expense of gazillion lives. Now, during the research into that, you started to find out that these RNA, the mice that were used to generate the growth in making these vaccines, that some of that retrovirus was making it into the humans that was causing all these different problems, and that had contaminated the blood supply. People donating blood, everybody vaccinated, whatever, and they're just sharing with everybody everything, and all of a sudden, you know, the planet is infected. Well, you were saying a lot of these problems that we're having, these chronic diseases, this, you know, this, you know, chronically tired, chronically this, chronically immune system, allergies, autism, all this stuff was generated. Now you look back and you go like on purpose, you know, by these people. Well, then a lot of doctors were like, woo, Judy pegged it right on. Thank you very much. And then Big Pharma, Fauci and friends said, hell no. And that's when they started attacking Judy and Rossetti and the research that they were doing and the solutions that they had, or at least an understanding of what was going on. So then they came under attack. Well, Judy would not back down. Frank did. I mean, he's got family and did and whatever reasons he had. But in the background, he was helping Dr. Judy, you know, that he'd worked with a long time, out of respect for, and, you know, they're good friends. But now he's come out, and a lot of the things that Dr. Judy had talked about, the role and the influence and the mentorship that Dr. Frank Rossetti had on her and his wife, and then, of course, here comes his son. Well, he still wouldn't openly participate. He wouldn't put his name on something. But on this book, Ending Plague, the top name, Dr. Francis W. Rossetti, Dr. Judy A. Mikovits, and Kent Heckenlively, J.D. Now, for Frank to come out, Francis Rossetti to come out and finally put his name on and say, he had to have a renegotiation with his family. You know, that for him to do this, his son has now disowned him, part of it, looking to get employment with, you know, Truth Pharmaceutical Research of something. What changed?
It's tough because really nothing changed. Frank was doing it all along. Frank did all of it all along. He's just never been the mouthpiece. Instead, and in fact, in the book, what his opening is, why now? Why do I write this book now? And I think he answers the question. I don't necessarily think it's going to satisfy everyone. And I think, you know, it's because what people don't understand is, you know, Fauci, you know, there were, Fauci's a nothing. I mean, people know that now. It's clear. He's an MD. He never was a research scientist. Gallo was a nothing that would have been kicked out of science a long time ago, or should have been kicked out of science a long time ago. You know, never did any research. It's, you've got groups, and it's not just Frank Rossetti. You've got really high quality scientists and men and women who've been doing the research, and it's not corrupted at the lower levels. It's corrupted at the interpretation levels. You know, we talk about, and so, you know, the whole thing about Ian Lipkin, oh, the world's greatest virus hunter. Wait a minute. Show me one thing he ever did. Look at his CV. You know, all he ever did was make other people's work go away. And then he got more and more money from Fauci. You know, and now what do we see? Oh, he was right in the middle of China. Yeah, because to publish that so-called replication study in 2012, oh, a year after I got out of jail, you know, and this is, you know, there never was an XMRV, folks. You can all go home. We caught that bad Judy Mikovits. Oh, yeah, and they killed my mother. Oh, that's great. They gave her those shots because that bad Judy Mikovits. Oh, how many people got murdered? How many people got murdered from all of this? So, you know, it's not a what now. It's maybe it's just a thing.
You hit mute. Judy, you're muted.
I know. My husband started talking. Sorry. So I'm just... Yeah, I honestly can't answer that question, you know, other than, you know, that's probably why I'm doing so badly today after watching that show. Anybody that watches The High Wire from yesterday, you know, this is a cancel culture. So what's happened for, you know, 40 years, our entire career, where we're not only making medicines. You know, Frank Rossetti changed all of science. We wouldn't have an adaptive immune response and the knowledge we have about functional T cell subsets or anything else, or how these viruses cause disease, because we know the infection is not the disease. It's what it does to the immune system. It's who's vulnerable. It's who's susceptible. You know, we could have prevented all of this with things like vitamin C, vitamin D, ivermectin, plants, quercetin, natural products. What I did literally the day I walked in, type 1 interferon, the day I walked into the National Cancer Institute out of college, June 10th, 1980. This none of the tens of millions of people. Oh, Nixon declared the war on cancer. And the whole program was, well, the special virus, cancer virus program. It was all around how viruses cause cancer. And Frank Rossetti and I would say Sandy Rossetti and a lot of other scientists there had this. It should have been solved a long time ago, just like we solved chronic fatigue syndrome. We know the mechanisms. We know how to prevent and treat. And what you do to prevent is never give another shot. Never give another shot, and you'll never see another COVID, you know, H1N1, bird flu, swine flu, pig flu, whatever it was. You'll never see that again. You know, we'll see a health. And wellness and happiness and prosperity in our country. This is a
Oh, hell, they can't have that. I, you know, pharmaceuticals, we're going to make some money on you. And we don't want you dead. We want you sick, and then you're dead, you know. So this is an evil that we're up against, certainly they don't care. I mean, you know, what they care about is whatever agenda they have, be it make money, more control, there's a symbiosis between corruption and evil, whatever the hell it is. But with your next book and Dr. Rossetti coming out and telling his piece, I'm wondering, you know, and certainly with Del Bigtree doing a good piece like this, which we'll promote heavily and make sure, you know, gets a boost of whatever, and it'll be up on IPFS here directly. So I'm wondering what... you think is going to be the result? How much is it going to play in the politics? You know, where's the media going to be? What about the alternative, you know, health and media? I mean, at some point, it has to break loose. Somebody's got to stay after school. And if they don't,
right,
the entire system is delegitimized. And then you start getting into secessions and revolutions and civil unrest and ignoring, and I'm not paying my taxes because what are you going to do? I mean, something's got to break. What do you think's happening?
Well, I think, I think this is the tipping point. I think we reached it last year. Honestly, I think we reached it last year with Plandemic. Really, literally May 4th was the tipping point. And then David Martin and Mickey Willis in Indoctrination Plandemic. And now Mickey Willis has a book, Plandemic, Plague of Corruption, you know, and Bobby Kennedy in Children Health Defense participation in what they've been doing all along. I think it all came together as different people who had different parts of the puzzle all realize that. And that's why the scholars' obligation, because now the journalistic scholars are stepping up. Now the legal scholars like Lee Dundas and Tom Rentz and General Flynn. I'm thinking of the people that are stepping up and seeing everything. I think the tipping point is there, and millions of people around the world are seeing it. So, and really have woken up. So I think with ending plague, you know, I really do, you know, and I believed it before. I believe the next generation, that's what we write the book for, you know, because, you know, what a scholar's obligation is, a PhD is not an MD. An MD is an ologist. An MD practices what we discover. And they don't know what's in the needle. And I think Dr. Sherry Tenpenny, she wrote an article in 2015, said what's in that, you know, her foresight, her prescience, she saw it ahead of time. 2015, what's in that needle could be killing you. You know, and we, you know, in cancer research, in working with these technologies, we make immune therapies, we make cancer vaccines, we use these technologies in a way that benefits society, but evil doesn't want that to happen. So I believe, you know, the scholar's obligation is number one, to produce knowledge, and number two, to communicate that knowledge, no matter the cost. So I think the simple answer of why with Frank Rossetti, why now? Because he is and always has been a man of integrity. And so no matter the cost, he knows now. He's experienced over the last year. We've had the last weeks as we've written these books, he's getting incredible pressure at home as we've written this book, not to write that book. And you know, it's not going well for either one of us, but you know, that doesn't deter
I find it interesting that you raise with all this knowledge, you and your you know, Frank and his wife know what you know. They raise a son. He's a PhD. He's a research scientist. He's been there, and the enormity of the obligation of just truth and death, dying, and destruction on a planetary scale, for him not to be enthusiastically encouraging his parents to come up, what does that tell you?
Well, and even for him not, for it, and it's more mom, and I'm not a mom, so I don't get protecting your son. You know, I really do think, you know, as many parents do, and Frank's wife, I can probably go pick up the book and find the page, and I will, so that you can put it up later. Donna can put it up later. But in our first book, Plague, you know, Sandy Rossetti was in the room. Sandy Rossetti was in the room, and she was in literally in one of the key meetings. And she knew everything we were saying November 10th, 2010 was right and true. And yet she said, what she said is very revealing. She said, there are many interesting questions to answer in science. We don't have to go there. We don't have to go to this hot radioactive topic of chronic fatigue syndrome, inflammation of the brain and spinal fluid. We don't have to touch that. You know, there are many, many things we can do in cancer and in other things. We don't have to go there. So it's a willful ignorance and a willful, I'm not going to go there. I'm not going to open my eyes and see that.